The web page has to meet my requirements, but you can add as much to it as you want to. Somebody just said that they added some music to it, which is terrific. You can change it and add to it as much as you want. Okay, so we are going to go back and look at the second one again, just very briefly, and then look at the third. So the second one is HTML5 list. And again, if you do the view source, it shows you making these lists. So I've got an ordered list and list items on it. And I've got an unordered list with list items inside of it. I've got a paragraph with some breaks, and then I close the paragraph. Okay, so that's the way that we looked at this one on Tuesday. Now I'm going to add something to this. And so I'm going to go back, and the next one is going to say HTML5 CSS list. I changed the order of one of these, so be sure you do a refresh if you don't see CSS list as the third thing. Okay, because that's the one I want you to click on. So CSS list, now I've added color. Okay, so I've got color and I've also centered some things. So that's where I am with this page. And again, if I do a view source, view page source, okay, there is the code. Now, what I did on this page is I have added some style to it. Okay? So up in the head, right after the title, I wrote the word style, type equals text, CSS. CSS stands for cascading style sheets. Okay? And this allows me to give some style to my page. So what I do inside the style, and notice here I said style, type is text CSS. When I'm done with the style, I close the style before I close the head. So when the browser sees the tag that says style, it knows that it should add some style to the page. Okay, yeah.
Wasn't anything visible in the body? Like anything that you're actually seeing on the page would be in your body? And that
yes,
is just
yes.
Like the background stuff?
Yes.
So could you put the style in the body, or is that...
No, you put the style up in the top. There is a way to put the style in the body. There's three ways of doing the style. You can do it this way, you can do it on an external sheet, or you can come down in here and inside the tag you can put some style in. Okay? But the whole purpose of the style was, there was a way of styling before CSS, and it was embedded in the body, and essentially originally, HTML was developed by scientists for scientists, and they could care less about the color. Okay, they just wanted to convey information. When people started doing a lot of styling, it was being embedded with the data, and it made it harder to read the data, basically, because you had a mixture of style and HTML and the data, the information all going on. So it was decided that it would be better to have the style separate. So the goal was to separate the style out of the body and leave the body for the tags that it needed and content. And that was the goal.
Okay.
So the style is up at the top. Again, there are ways where you can embed some of it in the body, but it's not the best way of doing it. So in the top, I've said, okay, I want to impact the body tag. So I take the body tag and I put body up here. So that's the tag that I'm impacting. The body is the whole page, so I'm impacting the whole page. So I have said here, color inside the body, I want the color of the text to be red. Okay? So I'm writing color, colon, red, semicolon. All right, so how would I do this? I put the body tag up here. These are curly braces, and they're enclosing what I want for the body. So they're enclosing what I want for the body. Inside that, I use a CSS word, which is color, and that tells it foreground color, text color. That's what I want there. Then I put a colon, and then I pick a color, okay? It used to be that there were color names like this, red, for all of the main colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, etc. And if you weren't using one of those kinds of colors, you had to put in a code. Somebody had time on their hands. And so we now have cornflower blue, and da-da-da-da, and they've got names for any color you can imagine. So you can always use a name. And if you go to W3 Schools and look up CSS color, they'll give you a whole great big list of colors.
How would you put in multiple colors onto one, like body?
Well, you're going to actually see it in a minute, because I've got multiple colors on this one. I've got some red and some green. Okay? And you can also put in a background color if you want to, and we'll see that in a later one. But if you write background hyphen color, you can put in the background color there. Yeah?
What's the purpose of the semicolon after the red?
The rules.
Okay.
More than anything else. It's a separator. So down here, I've got two things, and this kind of tells it that this one's done before this one starts. Okay. Technically, you don't have to have a semicolon on the last one, and since this is the last one, you don't have to have it. But that, forget I said that, it's a lousy habit, because then when you go and remember something you want to add to it, you forget to put in the semicolon at the end. And so it's just a lousy habit, so forget I said that. Yeah. No, this could actually all be written on one line. So I could have put body, squiggly bracket, color red, close squiggly, and it all could have been on one line. And a lot of people put this top squiggly up here with the word body, and the bottom one either separate or out here. I know myself, and I forget to put in curly braces. So I put them on separate lines so that they stand out, and I know when they're missing. But that isn't the way a lot of people do it. A lot of people combine it. And as I said, put the curly brace right after body, and put this curly brace right after red. Okay? But things like curly braces are things that I tend to forget. And so if you make them stand out, then it's clear that they're there, and I don't forget them. You can code it any style you want. As I said, it could all have been coded on one line. Okay? So then I said, okay, the body is going to have a text of red. Paragraphs, anything with a P, and I've got a paragraph down here, anything with a P is going to have the text aligned to the center. So I'm saying text align. And the text align are CSS words. Okay, and again, if you go to W3 Schools, you can look up CSS and get lists of what they let you do. But this is, I'm saying I want the text aligned to the center, and I want font size to be 2EM, which means twice the default size. Okay, the current size. I want it to be doubled. I want it to be twice as big. And then I close the paragraph and I said, okay, when an LI comes up, and there are some LIs, I want the color of that to be green. So I said the whole body should be red, but now I'm saying, but wait a minute, when you hit an LI, make that green. So I'm overriding the body one. And when you have a conflict like that, color red, color green, the thing that wins is the thing closest to what you're doing. Well, I'm talking about an LI that's closest to this. That's not the whole body, so LIs turn green. Okay? The body for a moment is red, and then the LIs turn green. And the moment you would never see. Okay, so that is the style that I've set up to go with this. So you can see that the color is red, unless I tell it otherwise. The paragraph, which is what I used here, is scented. So you can see that the paragraphs are scented. Yep.
If you wanted, say, your organized list to be green and your unorganized list to be another color, instead of putting LI with the color green, would you put OL or UL?
No. Yeah, you could. That would probably work. There's also something called a class that we're not getting into. That if you go and look up classes, if you get really interested in this, as I said, you can go look up classes. And I can assign a class to, let's say I wanted this LI to be green, and that's the only one. I can say here, class equals want green. And then I could have up here a dot, want green. So a class name that I give it, I put up there with a dot in front of it. And then only those things that I put class want green on will turn green. So you can go and look that up. That's an extra added attraction. We're not doing that in this class. The HTML book is that thick. So there's a lot that can be done. But we're only doing it for about a week, week and a half, so we're not even getting close to the book that big. Okay? Questions? Okay. Both of those paragraphs are centered because I said paragraph, this is introduction to HTML, then I skip down two lines, so the next thing is also centered. So both of these are centered. And if I look at, I can see that they are centered in the top. Okay? So they're both centered. Okay. Oops. So the next one is headers. There are header tags, and each one's weight 6 of the standards. And as you can see, looking at them coming out, H1 is big font, H2 is a little smaller, H3 is a little smaller, and H6 is very small. Okay? The other thing you can see by looking at the headers is that they are all skip a line after them. So they all do a skip line after the headers. Okay? So they write it out and then they skip a line. And the other thing you can see is that they're bolded. So a header is going to bold it, it's going to skip a line, and it's going to write it in a different font size depending on the number that's included with the H. So that is another way of doing this. And usually you use headers for just that, a header, and then you switch over to paragraphs and divisions when you're putting in the content of the page. Questions? Yeah.
Is the numbers indicate the size?
Yes.
Okay, so one would be the biggest?
Yes.
Okay. And if you wanted to center that header, it would be similar to how you did the paragraph?
Yep. Okay. You would say H1 and put that up in the CSS and say, hey, H1 is going to be
right underneath the H1, center. But center.
Yep. And in fact, I think I did that in the next one. Okay, and I did. Okay, so on this one, I guess over there is the best place, actually. On this one, I said the body is going to have a background color of beige. The default color is going to be brown. Anything that's in H1 will be red and aligned to the center. Anything that is H2 will be blue and aligned to the right. Anything that is H3 will be green and aligned to the center. Okay. So there are my headers being aligned different places and given different colors. Okay, and then I went down and said the ULs underneath the UL will be a color red. So that was the question you asked. Yeah?
I had a question. So if I wanted to put, let's say, H1, under the style type, if I wanted to put on the same line, say I wanted to change the H1's color, so I do H1, I do just space, then a squiggly bracket, or would I do...
No, H1 is around, if I'm understanding what you're asking, H1 is around all the things, I mean, the curly braces are around all the things that have to do with H1.
Do I have to do the space after the H1, or is it good just together?
I think he's trying to say, it's like how you did it clean, like you separated it,
because
that's easier for you. If you wanted to just do it one line...
Is that what you want? One line?
Yeah,
you can put all of this, the curly brace, color red, semicolon, text line, center, semicolon, close curly brace, all on one line if you want to.
Yeah, but he's saying, like, he would put H1, then would he have to put a space before the squiggly bracket, or is it just right there? If you do it
No, you can just put all that on one line, and then the next line would be H2, and put all of that on one line. Is that sort of what you wanted?
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, as I said, the majority of people will put these on separate lines. They may move the curly brace up to the H1 and move the closing curly brace over to the end over there. But they tend to break down lines and not put that all together on one line. Just if you look at style, that tends to be the way it's done. Yeah.
I feel like this is a dumb question, but how do you make just one specific word like a certain color? Is there a certain command for that, or is it just the same thing?
Or would that go into the class?
Yeah, that would go much more into the class. I'm trying to think of an easy way to make a specific word. You can put span around it. Right. You can put span around it, the word span, and then you can actually put the style within the span, and then the style would be for that. Or you could put span and make a class, and then go up to the top and have the class be that particular color. So there are ways around it, none of which are part of this class, so have a good time looking them up. Then you can see the brown default, because I said the background color is beige and the color is brown, so you can see the brown default. Okay? Now, if I go to W3 Schools, let's see. I'm going to do CSS color. And when I do this, I'm going to pick W3 Schools. And there are the colors that you can get. Okay, so if you just do a search on whatever it is you're interested in, and so you can have blanched almond, you can have burly wood, cadet blue, whatever. Okay, you can have colors for anything and everything. And those are some of the colors that you can have. Okay, so if you do a search and then pick W3 Schools is probably the clearest explanation for a lot of things, of other things you'll find out there, yeah.
And you can either use the color name or the hex number, or should you just use the color?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Your choice. The hex number was very valuable before they started naming everything. But now that they're naming everything, then doesn't matter as much. And there's some very high number that are supposedly from browser to browser the same. But then if you go and here's Color Picker, and if you go to Color Picker and make your own color by picking a certain amount of red, green, and blue, that won't necessarily be supported perfectly in the browsers if you make up your own rules for it.
Now, as you're writing that in the source code, do you need to put the number sign?
Yes.
Okay.
So these are four different ways you can do color. And you can write the word, you can write the code, you can say how much red, green, and blue I want. 255 is the maximum, so it wants all red, no green, no blue. All of that is above and beyond. I would just stick with words. But if you get interested in it, then feel free to explore as much as you want. Okay, the next thing I've got is an image. Okay? And with an image, I have set up image source equals. Okay? So image source equals CISA GIF. So I have an image that I named CISA, and it's a GIF image. And I've saved it in the same folder. It's in the folder or directory. With the page. It is in the same folder. Now, if you're putting everything in the root when you put it up on CIS Web, then we'll talk about how to do that. But for now, if you're saving it on your flash drive, it has to be in the same directory. If not, then you need an address. And you need the address as to where it's going to find it. So in other words, if I say image sources CISAA.gif, it is going to look in the same folder that the page is in. And if it finds it, it will show it, and if it doesn't find it, it won't. Okay? But it's not going to go looking all through everything you've got, looking for that image. So if you have an image that's someplace else, you have to put in the entire address. Okay? Or I shouldn't say the entire address. You have to put in an address, yes.
Would you, like say, because I'm using Chrome, so you would save it, and would you make a new folder and lump them both into that, or you just put it anywhere in the folder that has the HTML?
It can be anywhere in the folder.
Okay.
Okay? If you want to put in an address that is out on the web, then you can put in a address that will include the whole HTTP and the whole address to find that, okay? For now, I would put it in the same folder. Again, we're only going so far here, and we're going to talk about links either the last thing today or the first thing on Tuesday, and I'll get more into addresses when we talk about links, okay? But if it's not in the same folder, then you need to put an address here so we can find it. Okay? And so you need to put, if it's in a different website, if you're doing something that you've saved out on the web, you need to put in the whole address starting with the HTTP :// and then the whole address.
Does it have to be a .gif or can it be JPEG?
No, it can be any.
Okay.
That was just happened to be one I had around with a .gif in it. Okay, so there's the image, and it's been included in the page. So I said here, image, source equals. Now, with everything else that we've written, there's always been a close. LI has a close LI. OL has a close OL. Header 1 has a close header 1. Paragraph has a close paragraph. Image doesn't have a close. So you just write it like that. There is no close. Okay, there's no > image > sign. There's no image like that. No close image. Okay, now on the next one, I centered the image. Okay, so I wanted to center the image. And it used to be as simple as centering the way I'd center text. But they have changed things now, and the way you center an image is to set the margins. So I'm saying display this image as a block. The margin left auto, margin right auto means that it makes them the same margins, and so it ends up centering it. Okay? So if I want to center my image, then I put image, which is my tag, up in the style, and I include these three things, and that will end up centering my image. Okay? And again, the same image is a block, and I want the margins on either side to be the same. Yeah?
If you were to change the size, would you put it there, or would you put it where the image
is? Where the image is. It is strongly recommended that you not do that. That if you want to change the size of the image, you should go to something like Paint and change the size and save it under a new name. The reason is that when a page loads, it has to load and then readjust if you change the size and readjust the whole image on the page and how everything before and after it are placed, and it slows down the page load a lot. Okay, so it's recommended that you not do that.
So
but
it's just
you
gonna...
can put it in, and it will be in the image, and you can have a height and width code in there that will size it. Yeah.
So it's just going to take whatever dimensions are on the file.
That's right.
Okay.
Whatever the image is saved as. And if I want this to be smaller, as I said, the way I should do it is go into something like Paint, and inside Paint, reduce it to the size I want, and save it with a new name. Okay, so CISASmall.gif or something like that, and then use CISASmall there. Okay. Okay, one more thing that we have here is a table. Okay, so you can set up a table. There's a lot you can do with sizing a table. Again, we're just looking at the basics. So what I've got here is a table with two rows, and each row has two columns. And each of these is called a cell. And the sizing of this was to accommodate what I wanted to put into the cells. And as I said, there's ways you can play around this, but that's above and beyond. But notice this fits perfectly. The image fits perfectly. It sizes the table to hold what you're putting in it, if it can. It may end up having to do wrap of words. If I put a lot of text in there, eventually it would decide to do wrap. And the browser kind of figures that out and goes ahead and does it. Okay. But if I take this page and make it smaller, okay, you can see as I made the page smaller, okay, I'm not doing very well here. There we go. As I made the page smaller, it did a bunch of wrapping. Okay. So it did all of that wrapping as I made the page smaller. So in other words, if it can't accommodate the ideal size, then it shrinks it as it goes down. Okay. Yes.
The table for me started off initially much smaller, but that maybe it's just because I'm using Chrome instead of Firefox.
Oh, it could be, but it also, yeah, it could be. Okay, so if I look at a view source on this table, okay, first of all, I tell it that it's a table. So I put the word table here. I tell it that it's a table. Then I'm putting in a row. TR is for the table row, and it goes across. So every time I want a new row, I put in a TR. So there's the first TR, and that's making a row. And then here's the second TR, and that's going to make another row. Okay, so the TRs make a row. Then within the TRs, I've got two TVs. And these are columns. Okay, and I never remember what TV stands for. But essentially, it's columns. So in this first TV, I am writing some words. And in the second TV, I'm putting in an image. So I put an image in here. And here I've got words. And then if you look at the second row, I have words going in to these as well. So this goes here, and this goes here, and they both are words. So I start out with table as a tag, and then I go and say, I want to describe the first row. So I put a TR in it. And then I say, okay, now I want to describe the cells in that row. And so I put in a TD and another TD. Now, with a table, you should make it balance. So I shouldn't put two TDs on one row and three TDs on the other row, because it's not going to make a nice table. Now, are there workarounds for that? Yes. Are we going to cover them? No. So there are ways that you can work around it, but on the whole, you're just making the same number of columns on each row. Yes.
How does it know if you're working with the TD on the left or on the right? Is that simply because you're going in order?
That's right.
Starts from left to right? Yes. Okay.
Yes. So the first TD is the leftmost, the next TD moves over. If there was a third one, it moves over and keeps going across like that. So that makes a table. And sometimes a table is nice to have because it kind of organizes things and makes it stand out. Now, when I did the table, I said the border on the table should be solid and thick. And so it made a solid, thick line on the table. I could have also gone in there and put information about the border as to what color I wanted it. But I've got my color defaulting in navy, and so the borders default in navy as well. But if I wanted to, I could put a border color in here and have it a different color. And then I put on the TDs, I said I want a solid thin line around the TDs. Okay, so I'm going to get rid of can see that I've got the solid thick line around the whole table, and then around each one of the cells I've got the solid thin line. Okay, so I've got a line around the whole table and another line around the TDs. Okay. So again, if I go in and I do a search for CSS border, okay, and pick up W3 schools, here are the border properties. Okay, so border style, I could have set up border style as dotted, dash, solid, double, etc., etc., etc. It goes on forever. I can set up a border width. Okay. And I can set up a border color. And I can even make, if I am feeling very clever, the border top style dotted, the bottom border right style solid, the border bottom style dotted, and left style solid. Or I could have made all four different. So I could make all of my borders look totally different if I really want a bizarre looking site. Yes?
Why are they using P in the example?
Paragraph. Yeah, right, but kill white bear picking that too. Let's try it ourselves and see. Let's do a try it yourself. I just assumed it was actually the table. Good catch. Try it yourself. Okay? They did it to a paragraph. I thought they were mainly illustrating tables. But that's why I took a stop. And maybe I just thought it was a table. Because that's usually where you do it with a table. But here I've said, paragraph, the boarded style is dotted solid. And two different boarded styles. Here's the, okay, and dotted and solid. When you just write the two, the dotted goes up on the top and bottom, the solid goes to the side. If I want four, I then put in four, and I get four different ones. So I could say dotted, solid, you know, whatever, dashed, or whatever other words I want to put in, and I'd get all four. And it starts at the top and then moves around clockwise. That's one of the nice things about W3 schools, that they have a lot of these try-its. And so they kind of talk about something and then say, if you go and click on the try-it, we'll show you the example. And you can actually go in and change the thing that they're illustrated in the try-it. And so you could change it to see what happens if I put other words in there and that sort of thing, and check it out and see what happened. So that's one of the nice things about W3 schools. But if you are doing a search, it's best to use CSS as part of the search. If you're doing a search about Cascadian style sheets, use CSS and then pick the topic that you want. Okay? Because borders could mean a whole load of things. We could be talking about nothing to do with computers. So put in the CSS and then border, and then you'll get things related to CSS. In the last one of this set, I am centering the table. And so when I centered the table, I put in margin auto, and that centered the table. And I could have done what I did on the other one, which is margin left auto, margin right auto. Either one would work. But that centered the table. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes and then I'll go on to the last things. But I'd like you to take a few minutes now and take one of mine and kind of play with it a little, make it a little bit different. Don't start from scratch because that takes a lot of time. But take the view source, we'll take the source on one of mine, copy and paste it into Notepad, and then make some changes to it. And just play around with it for a few minutes. If you have questions, this is your time to catch people. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Pick one of my examples and just open it, take the view source, click on view source, and then copy it to Notepad. Okay, so if I wanted to do the one about tables, I can say, okay, I'm opening tables, then I'm doing a view page source, and I'm just going to take all of this and copy it and open Notepad and paste it into Notepad. Okay, so now I can play with this. So I think I will add a third row. So I'm going to add another TR, another TD, and say third row to the left and close the TD. And third row right and close the TD and close the TR. So I've added another row to this. Okay, that's just something you could do. I've added another row to this. Just a sec.
Yep.
So I'm going to save that and say file, save as, and I'll put it out on my E drive and I'll call it third row .html. And I change this to all files and I save, and now I've got third row .html. I can then go over to my browser and say file, open file, and go to my E drive, and there's third row, and I've now got my third row. Notice that I didn't save the image out on my flash drive. And so the image just has that indicating there would be an image there, except I can't find it. So that's the symbol you see when it can't find the image. Okay, I didn't copy the image to my flash drive, so it couldn't find the image. Okay, because it wasn't in the same directory or the same area that my page is. So it couldn't find it, and that's how it filled it in. Notice, too, how it changed the size of this cell. Because it couldn't fit the image in, it couldn't find the image, it just leaves it regulation size because it couldn't fit it in. So what I want you to do is go find one of mine, do a view page source, select the code and put it in Notepad, and then you can play with it. And when you finish playing, save it with a .html extension. Open it up and see what you've got. And opening it up involves opening it in the browser. And if you're totally confused, that's what Lindsay's here for, and me too. Just turn around, Lindsay, would you? Or is that a question?
That is a question.
Okay.
It's okay if we use the W3 Schools editor instead of doing it on Notepad. That way we can see the, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
You can use editors eventually, but I kind of like you playing with Notepad. And, you can go.
It's very easy, right?
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. And it tells you all of your problems very easily.
Yeah.
But I do minimize.
So it's kind of like the
HTML. Just think, you're writing HTML, it's dot HTML.
It'll be in
there. Okay, questions? Yeah.
I can't get it to save where I want it to.
I don't know. I think you close something up because the real first one is resource. And so usually the first one is the thing. I don't want to reopen it in the browser, basically. I suspect you're headed there at some point. And then... Notepad, you just have to change it to all types.
Thank you. this one and still doesn't like the square.
No, we got rid of it.
Even without the square, it's not showing up as a list.
Well, it is.
It should work.
I don't see all files. Well, here we go.
should be right at the top.
Is it all types?
Yeah, all types.
All types, okay. Yeah. And now, say that's your name. You have to go to your name.
And then you gotta write the file extension.
No. Put whatever name you want. For HTML, like first HTML or something.
Okay. I'm going to do another. Would you...
You have to put dot HTML at the end of whatever. You have to put just put.
Okay, we're gonna look on at the next thing. You have a page to write. And it is described under assignments, and so you should start writing that. The stuff I'm looking at right now are links, and we're going to go and look at links, but links are not a requirement for this page, so you know everything that you need to generate the homework. Links are an extra credit, and if you do put a link in, I will give you extra credit. Okay, so, all right, quiet please. Here is a page. Okay, and I've got two links, and one of them purposely doesn't work. Okay, so if I click on another page, it goes and brings up another page. If I click on new page, it gives me an error, and that happens to be my error that I set up, but any error would work. So if it can't find the page, you get an error. So I'm going to look at view page source. So the first thing is, if you want a link to another page, it's ahreference equals. And ahreference equals says that I want a link to this other page. Here's the page I want to link to. Thinking back to what I said about images, where does that page have to be? In the same folder. The page has to be in the same folder or it can't find it. Okay? Because all I've given it is a page name. If you want it to be someplace else, you need to give it an address. And if you need to give it an address, the address has to be an HTTP address. You have to start out with HTTP if you're giving an external address. If you're giving an address that is at your site, if you know how to maneuver around and go up and down to find stuff, you can do that. Or you can just always give the whole HTTP address. Okay, so you can maneuver around or you can give the same address. So this is got to be in the same folder, or you need an HTTP address. Okay, the whole address with HTTP at the beginning of it, yes.
So, say the another page .html.
Yep.
That would basically be me going into Notepad, making another file, and
right.
The name would be...
That's right. That's right. So now I've got two pages in the same folder or directory, and I can move back and forth between them with that link. So in my folder, I had something called it that one. New page was an error. Since it's not there. It's not there, so it's an error. Okay. But the other one is there, and so it brings up a page. Okay, we're going to look at the next one. Because that has, whoops. Okay. Thank you. Oh, there it is. Okay, so if I wanted to link to my CIS 120 page, I can give the entire address if I want to, which is A, H reference equals, HTTP colon, /, www.pgrosa.net, /pfgcis120.html. All that's in quotes. That's the entire address. So if you go to my 120 page, that's the address you're going to see up at the top. Okay, so if you click on that and go to the page, that's the address you'll see because that's where it's located. Okay, so I can always give the address. Okay, now, right now, okay, so I said link to the CIS 120 page. And then I have two others. One is link to a file in a subfolder, and the other is link to the first page about links. Okay? And the first page about links doesn't need an address. It's just right there. So that doesn't have an address. But going to a subfolder. Okay, so first of all, I look at this, and here's my address up here. And if you look at my address, it goes to, okay, here's the address. And when they put view source in there, now I can't see my whole address because it's too long. Prior to the days of view source, I could see it. Okay. So my whole address for this particular page is it is on http://, www.pgrosa.net, /CIS17. So that's a directory within pgrosa.net. Then within CIS17, I have another directory called HTML. Then within HTML, I have another directory called HTML5. I have too many things out there. Let me take a picture of that actually before I go on. And finally, in the HTML5 page, I have the page that I am looking for, which is HTML5 morelinks.html. Okay, so that's what I am looking for. Now I'm sitting here. I'm sitting in pgrosa.net. Then I've got CIS17. Then I've got underneath it HTML. Then I've got underneath that HTML5. And I'm sitting in a page in there called HTML5 morelinks.html. So this is where I'm sitting right now. Okay? I'm in CIS17, and then I go to the directory called HTML, and then I go to the directory called HTML5, and that's where I find this. So that's where I'm sitting right now. If I look at this, it says, oh, go to a subdirectory, which would be in here. So I'm in HTML5. HTML5 has a subdirectory called sub-HTML5. So I'm basically telling it, go to this. And inside there, you will find file in sub HTML5. It would have helped if I made shorter names. But sitting in here, because I'm sitting in here, and there's my page, which is in there. I'm saying from this point, go to a subdirectory. That subdirectory is under HTML5. Okay, and you'll see that in a minute when I go to it. But under HTML5, it will go to this subdirectory, and then it will find that page in the subdirectory. So I'm giving it a partial address, because I said, I know where I'm sitting. I'm sitting in this subdirectory, and this is the page I'm showing. So sitting in that subdirectory, I can find a subdirectory beneath that and get another page out of that. So when I come up here, I'm going to add in there, okay, when I do the link, I'm going to add in here sub HTML5 and then a slash, okay, file in sub HTML5. .html, whatever. Okay, that's going to get added in there. So if I come over here, and I guess I should get rid of the ink. Okay, and I click on this, link to a file in a subfolder. So I'm linking to a file in a subfolder. And look what I got. After the HTML5, I go to sub-HTML5, and I find that page there. So I went down to a subdirectory, and I found the page in the subdirectory. Okay, so I started out at my website. I went to CIS17. HTML, HTML5, sub-HTML5, and I found that page. Now, I could have written out the entire HTTP address, and it would work just fine. But if I know enough about maneuvering, I can just say, oh, the directory I want is right beneath this one, so I'll just go there and find the page. Okay? If you are in CIS 121, I think there's a lot of this in there. Yeah.
So basically, you're telling it to go to a file within the HTML5. It's not HTML5 more links. That's totally different.
It's saying, okay, go to HTML5, and within HTML5, there is a subdirectory set up. Go to that subdirectory, and you'll find the page. Because I'm already in... The original, I was in HTML5. So I'm saying, where you're sitting, which is in HTML5, there is another subdirectory under HTML5. Go there, and you will find this page.
So you're just navigating your website with the link.
Yeah. And as I said, you can always write the entire HTTP address. So I could have written HTTP www.pgrosser.net/CIS17/HTML5, or since I knew I was in HTML5, and I knew this subdirectory was in also in HTML5, under HTML5, I can just say, go to that subdirectory and you'll find that file. Okay? So it's the shorthand for that. And again, linking on this particular page is... and then, wait a minute, if I go to the first page about links, there I am... And I went back, and there's the page I was at before. So I just went to that page, and they're all in HTML5. Okay, it is now 12:15, which means I'm out of time. There's one more that I wanted to look at, and I will look at that on Tuesday. And if you have questions about links, we can talk about that a little more on Tuesday. Yes.
Where do I find the amount of information you want for the assignment? Because I know it's about us, but how long do you want it to be here? Just anything.
It has to be the length that conveys the information that I asked for. As I tell people, I went to college too, and I'm a great person. And if you want 10 pages and I've only got 3 pages to say, I can stuff it up to 10 pages without a problem. Okay? I don't want you stuffing it out. I want the information. Okay? That's right. I've learned how to do fluff, just like you have.
Yes, assignment 1 and 2. You have to do this survey. Did you email her? You got an email. She sent me an email letting me know you've taken it. You can send an email. It's fine. You still have time. Just send her the email.
What do you want?
No, just go to your email and literally say, I completed the survey.
That's right. All you do is send me an email that says, I completed it.